Welcome. Well, this is a bigger group than I was expecting. Hi, we're going to talk about threat modeling for privacy and against stalkers. Mainly against stalkers, a little bit for privacy. Stalkers can be a group of people. If I turn this one, I need to turn on too. Hello. It's gone. Yeah, I got the play. Yes, short content warning. I'm going to mention something like stalking, of course, threat modeling against stalkers. Also, it includes abusive relationships and some mentions about miscarriage and abortion. If you're uncomfortable with that, get out of the room, walk away. No harm, no wrong feelings, because these are difficult topics. So, who's Danielle? Who am I? Who's Danny? Well, if you work in IT and you work with diacritics, you have seen all those kind of shenanigans with diacritics. So it ended up to be either Danny or Danny. It's with the da, that's fine. I have the hexabasem. I didn't bring it this year because it's a takke ding om mee te nemen in de trein. It's 2.5 meters long. It's kind of heavy. Yeah. I didn't bring it this year. I had it at MCH. I am a certified estate hacker. Very proud of that one. And in my regular day job, I'm a DevSecOps consultant nowadays at Society. If you want to reach me, Mastodon, Blue Sky, LinkedIn is nowadays a good way. I always used to say Twitter, but LinkedIn works much better than that. And I am a proud member of the Rainbow community in different ways. So what I'm going to talk about, I'll cut my thing here, so I don't have to log back. What I'm going to talk about, the why and what of threat modeling. Not knitting, there's a different kind of threat modeling, it's with a D. We're going to talk about who you are, for who this presentation is meant. And we're going to do some methodologies. We're going to do some actual threat modeling on some scenarios that we're going to talk about for privacy and if you end up with a stalker, or you might end up with a stalker. So, why am I doing this talk? In MCH 2022, Chantal did a great talk about not your stalkerware, and that's more like cleaning the mess up after you've already encountered the stalker, the heroic kind of way. I'm the boring kind of way. I'm like the prevention people. I'm like the, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. I'm not heroic, I just like kind of think like, you should do that, you should take on your sprinkler system, you should make sure that the batteries in your fire alarm are ready and tested every year. Who tests this fire alarm every month? I see 6 people. Wow. Well, yeah. So not heroic, but it's kind of important and it can help you so much. So, first, what is threat modeling? Well, there are a whole books about it. I've got 2 books from Adam Shostay, who is the threat modeling guy at Microsoft, or used to be the threat modeling guy at Microsoft. He works on his own now. This big. If you go to threatmodelingmanifesto.org, you find 4 questions. What are we working on? What can go wrong? What are we going to do about it? Did you do a good job? Threat modeling. That's all you need to know, basically. There's a bit more to know. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to ask ourselves 4 questions, and we're going to answer them. Who are we? Inclusive we. Also, inclusive ours. You might be possibly in a relationship that might go sour. You might use certain forms of healthcare, and if you're up to date with what these kind of people do, Planned Parenthood is reproductive healthcare, abortion clinic, also does some gender affirming care. And I should have changed the logo, Extinction Rebellion, because you might have some ideals. Left-leaning ideals, mainly. Who are we not? You're not a common criminal. Also, you're not a person of interest for intelligence agencies. You're not a political dissident or a journalist that is in a dictatorial regime. This goes above my pay grade. I cannot help you with that. If this is your threat actor, if this is your threat model, go to these people. This is way above my pay grade. I cannot help you protect yourself from Pegasus. Pegasus is way, way expensive, and you'll get into why a little bit later. I can help you preventing from that. So if that is your threat model, talk to these people, not me. You might get a head start here, but yeah. So what are we working on? A threat model starts with a data flow diagram. This is the most important part of basically my presentation, getting a good diagram on paper, because I have seen many lists about like, how can I protect my data for stalking or for privacy? It's a bit of a list, and nobody really gets into how are all the little parts interconnected. And the interconnection is really complicated. So it's a visual representation of like, how does my data flow between the main components on a more or less abstract way. Don't bring in your big architectural diagrams, but more or less abstract way. So I tried to do this, starting on paper, really fast, already moving to a digital version, because this is hard. There is so much pieces of data, pieces of hardware, pieces of software, accounts that we all use in a daily life. I'm wearing two GPS trackers on my wrist today, because I'm testing one out and I already had the other one. I've got my phone, I've got multiple laptops, I've got hundreds of accounts, and I try to write them down on my little screen, a little bit grouping. And I was working on this, and then Mozilla came out. It's official, cars are the worst product category we have ever reviewed for privacy. Cars track a lot of data. If you have like a nice modern car with an app that can tell you your mileage, oh, it's nice, tell you your mileage, tell you if there's something broken, gives you a warning that you need to go to the garage to have something fixed. Sure, fine. What do the car companies want to collect from you? Well, your location, your driving statistics, seems reasonable, right? How fast do you go? What's your mileage? Sexual activity. If you dive into the privacy statements from these car companies, from these car apps, some want to have the right to track and contain your sexual activity. I am not sure how they're gonna get it. Maybe where you go? Yeah, maybe, maybe. Yeah, maybe some G sensor or some. Yeah, that might work. Yeah, how is your car moving? That might work. Where is your car going? Are you? I was in Hamburg at CCC, and my hotel's around the corner of the Reeperbahn, which is the red light district. I did not know that the Reeperbahn was still a big thing. That was nice. But it also wants to collect genetic information. I have no clue. I have no clue how a car will collect genetic information. Yeah. So I have to kind of start worrying, a little Subaru joke here. What does my car know about me? What does my car share? Because there's one more thing. They will share this with law enforcement on informal inquiries. Not a subpoena, not a warrant, not a vordering. No, it's just an officer calling up, hey, I'm Officer Kroepke. Where did Dani go with her car? And we don't know if Officer Krupp is really an officer, because it's an informal inquiry. It doesn't go through all the political, the proper channels. So it might also be my ex-boyfriend, my abusive ex-boyfriend. So informal request, this is a really important one. So I added my car. It's getting more complicated. Then I was browsing around, chatting on the Discord server from Angry Nerds. And somebody said, hey, if you go to petbase.org and you type a little 15-digit number, which is also a Euro parameter, you get name, address of people's of the owner of a certain pet that is related to this data, to the chip number. So this is the little chip that you put in your cat or your dog in the neck, and you bleep. So if your cat is found, people can find you. But everybody can find you, and everybody here knows how to enumerate a URL, 15 digits, just numbers. Should not be too hard. I can't code, so I use Burp Suite for that. But if you can code curl, you're done. I think most people do that in 5 minutes. So now I have to start worrying what Mr. Mistopheles can leak about me. There are a couple of more, Crystal. And in the end, if you get them all, you can get a drink. So I started looking like this guy. I just want to map out my tech stack. But then I realized, also on the Threadmodeling Manifesto, there is no such thing as perfect representation. It is hard. And basically what I was doing, I was like, I want to create an entire CMDB with an architectural diagram and threat model it all at the same time. Who has a company that has a CMDB, Configuration Management Database? Who of you are sure that is correct? So let's build one from scratch, just from your own stuff. So yeah, it does not work like that. So I'm thinking of a bit of my system of my own. I was inspired by the OSI stack that starts with physical and ends with presentation, and then something in between I never remember. I always forget those other steps. But it builds from the most sensitive on the bottom as a foundation to the least sensitive. And also it starts with physical. So, and assets and accounts can be interlinked between the layers. So, physical devices on the bottom. So, your laptop, your phone, your smart devices, your Roombas, your car, your cat. Your primary accounts come on top of that. Google, Apple, DigiD, your password manager, Facebook. Because Facebook is a single sign-on provider. Sign in with Facebook. Or sign in with any other service. Then you have your sensitive accounts, your banking, your medical, with things that contain your location. Hi, I'm wearing a Garmin and a Fitbit. Contain my location. Personal accounts, your social media, your streaming services, anything that is personal to you and tells something about you, your habits, your likes, your dislikes. And then you have the peripheral accounts, everything that you need to sign up for just to buy a book, just to buy a concert ticket. Ticketmaster is horrible. And also Ticketmaster and wants you to pay €8 for a ticket and sells your stuff to 640 different people. Yeah. So I started doing this, mapping out. So I started with my physical stuff, car, watch, all your smart home stuff. Then you get the primary accounts, like I said, Facebook is here as well. Your sensitive information, including the ones that contain direct GPS data, some even live tracking. Your main account, so I've got all your Blue Sky, your Mastodon, your Twitter, if you still have it. Your Netflix is also one of these, because it can be abused. It tells a lot about you. And all the rest, the cinema, the web shops, the museum. I went to the Science Museum in London. Free entrance, free tickets. You need an account to sign up, to buy a ticket, to buy a free ticket, to buy a free ticket. Name, address, email address. It's a free entrance museum. But yeah, you need an account for that. So these sort of things that contain direct GPS locations. Netflix also takes some GPS locations for like, are you sharing your account kind of thing, but these are the kind of things that takes direct GPS locations that can be used to track you. There is some more, but that's more dangerous. Your phone gives you access to your Google account, to your Netflix account, and to basically all the other things, or your laptop does. I think for most of the people around here, if I have your unlocked phone in my hand, I have your life. Some people are smart enough to have like a password manager with a secret passkey and some extra information, but for most people, if you have their phone in your hands unlocked, you have their life. But then there is your partner's devices, or people you share your accounts with. Your partner might turn evil, and your partner might have access to a bunch of your accounts, might have access to your Strava because you're friends with him. It might have access to your Netflix because you share your account, so you can watch videos together. And he might have access to your Google account because you share your account, you share data, or it might be your Apple account, things like that. And then there is all the stuff that Chantal always talking about, the evil trackers, the stalkerware, and what's called spouseware or family control software. So you can control what your spouse is looking at. It's stalkerware. It's really nasty. So, given a little example, if you're going to do this, you have to break it down by little bits, because you cannot do the whole diagram in one go, because then you go like Crazy Guy again, oh, with all the red lines on your wall around your entire apartment. So, I'm a runner, 2 GPS trackers on my wrist. I'm a runner, I go for a run, so I use my Strava, or my Garmin nowadays, sends my GPS location to my phone. My phone shares my location with Google, because Google tracks my snaps were taken, we know where my pictures were taken, and nice to know where my phone is when I lose it again, because I lose it like 5 times a day. And Fitbit shares it to Strava, and Strava is able to share to social media, Twitter, Facebook, whatever, Instagram. So Strava looks like this. I'm not sure if you're a runner, Strava looks like this. This is my run. This is a run I did about 2 years ago in Vienna. Still proud of this one. Where was my hotel? Somewhere around here. I've looked at some friends I know on their Strava account. They shared their Strava information with me. And from 5 of them, within 30 seconds, I knew within about 50 meters where they lived. Just 2 or 3 runs. You start here, you start there, you start here, you start there. You live there within about 50 meters. It tells me where I was, where I started. Well, it's when I ran, I made some pictures along the way. But if you do this regularly around your own house, this was on holiday, so I did it only once. If you do this regularly around your own house, you get these kind of things, really patterns. People can predict where you are. I have my regular running route on the regular time of day. Every week. So you can just wait in the bushes, because we run through the bushes, and you can not call me on that. So what can go wrong with all these kind of things? I alluded to some of those things. There are a whole bunch of methodologies in threat modeling. Stride I use daily in my own work as a DevSecOps consultant. Amperson and Grat I use daily. There's also Linden. I'm still working on getting that down and down to really get through the depth of it. Linden is more privacy related, for if you set up big privacy related systems. Stride is of course the classic technical one. Amperson and Grata is role playing, and we're going to focus on that one, because I do not want to burden people who've never done this before with learning technical definitions. Everybody can role play a bit. So persona non grata goes about a persona that has a motivation, that has objectives, and that has a measurable amount of effort they want to put in. So, who is the persona? Your ex-boyfriend, the government, somebody else. What is their motivation? So, what is their objective? What do they want to get out of it? How much are they willing to put in times of perseverance? So how much time? How much time do they have to take? How much skills do they have? So how good of a hacker are they? Are they a script kiddie? Can they just download spouseware? Or can they really create something themselves? And how much funding do they have? How much money are they willing to spend? This is why I can't help you defend against Pegasus. Because if the IVD wants Pegasus on your phone, they will manage. They have infinite amounts of money, well, basically infinite amounts of money, perseverance, and huge skills. So, if we're going to do this, and we're going to do this about our ex-boyfriend, Steve the Stalker, I like to give my people alliterate names, the abusive ex-partner had access to your devices, because you lived in the house together. He might have been able to log into your phone with his thumbprint, because I know a lot of partners do that. But he had access to your phone or your laptop or all your devices. His motivation is jealousy, because you left him, he was abusive. He thinks that only that you belong only to him, that only you, he has access to you, should have access to you. So what is his objective? He wants to assert control. He wants to let you know that he still is in control of your life, that he can do what he wants, and that he owns you, and gain access. So he wants to know where you are. He wants to know what you did. He wants to confront you. And his efforts, obsessive, so plenty of time and perseverance. depending on who Steve is, usually limited of skills and funding, hopefully. If Steve is a really good hacker, it's going to be harder. If Steve is really rich, and I don't think private people will buy Pegasus, but technically they could. So, if we go back to my little run, except just the little GPS data, you can follow people on Strava. So you can see, oh yeah, Daniela did a run today. Give her a high five, because this is how Strava works. Strava works on gamification. Also, the gamification segments. Strava gives you options to share, and by default it used to be always on. I believe they changed it a little bit, but please go check in your running app if you use Strava Runkeeper or any other running apps. Double check your privacy settings, because Garmin is everything is by default private. Strava used to be by default everything public. A couple of weeks after I give this presentation earlier at TwiCon, the host of Darknet Diaries, Jack Resider, admitted that he has been doxxed by Strava. Unbeknownst to him, that he got a call, hey, I know where you live. And this is a guy who's secretive. So, you got segments, local heroes, this all kinds of leaderboards. Daniela has been the fastest runner on this hill. Or flybys. If I'm running with Strava and have the flyby function enabled, and I come across another guy that also said that enabled, they get a ping. Hey, Daniela was here. Would you like to say hi? Would you like to connect? So this is a terrible, terrible mess. And of course, your public posts tells a lot about your sorry about that. About your routes and habits. So then Netflix. Netflix has a nice little feature about your watch list. Lets you continue watching your things, and it lets you do some algorithmic recommendations. Very nice features. If your ex has access to this, because she shared your account, that might be interesting, because you can mess around with people like that. It may be a silly thing to share, just to delete people's watch list or mess up like how far they were along a series. It's like annoying. This is the kind of thing the Stasi used to do. Well, not with Netflix, because there was no Netflix back then. Stasi would go into your house, and they put your toothbrush that you always put on your right side on your sink, they put it on the left. And they go out. A couple of days later, they change around some books. They will make you paranoid. If this continue to happen, you will start being annoyed, then you will start becoming paranoid. This is really effective. And this is a bit of a silly example, but I do not want to turn this into a stalking 101. So you need to get some more information to get some more in-depth. But you get the point I'm wanting to make. So, threat model. If you write all this stuff down, your data flow diagram in a little table, you get yourself a threat model. And of course, very important, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do to prevent all these kind of threats? So, tampering your Netflix account, you log out all your devices, you rotate your password, you enable multi-factor authentication if you did not do that yet, and make sure you control the MFA factor. Make sure that he cannot steal access, because he also has his email address registered or his phone registered. Physical stalking during workouts, stop sharing your workouts, set your privacy settings. Recommend you anyways, if you do any fitness app, workout app, check your privacy settings, because they're horrible. So change your routes, your routines, go running with somebody else. Think about those kind of things, because then you have to go the bigger things. Tracking via AirTags and SmartTags and Bluetooth, if people just drop a tag in your bag. Use the warnings that are on iOS and Android, or use an app like AirGuard that warn you from there's a device tracking you, there's a device following you for a little while. It works really good. If they've been installing stalkerware or spouseware, you can think about using antivirus. Most antivirus companies check for stalkerware and will detect, but will not do anything about it, because acting upon these kind of things can be dangerous. Because if suddenly the stalkerware or your tracker gets deactivated, your stalker might become violent. So be careful before you act. There are also some passive tooling that scan your device internet traffic for suspect domains. Reset your devices, buy new devices, but don't just like have everything reinstalled all over again, because then you just migrate your stalkerware from the one phone to the other one. Access to primary accounts for your stored passwords on devices, or shared accounts, logout, rotate password, enable MFA. Consider not sharing your devices in the first place. And we come to this, you might want to do this, you might not want to do this a bit later. Continued access to photos, including metadata, revoke access to shared albums, for example, iCloud things, because your photos, for most people, contain, first of all, you can see the picture where the picture was taken, but often contain GPS data, if you have the location enabled on your phone. So think about these kind of things. And yes, I'm a bummer, but you want to think about this beforehand. So now we have the privacy bit about somewhat oppressive governments. This is my personal crusade a little bit, because yeah, abortion bans in the United States are a big thing since Roe v. Wade fell. There are a whole bunch of states, and this is an older picture. I need to update it, but this is August 23. This has been become more red now. Also, gender-affirming care is on the line in the U.S. Also, it's more than the United States at the moment. So people will start seeing it as a crime. First example, Timon pled guilty to an abortion charges based on Facebook data. Facebook shared some data with authorities, like, oh, she had an abortion. And she got apprehended. And of course, we all know Kirsten Verdel, who was not at Schiphol with an Extinction Rebellion protest, but was still called in to have a talk with the Manu Chachet. Because she looked at like a picture of somebody who was there, and she liked a Extinction Rebellion tweet once somewhere on the internet. Also, this slide I made before the elections, I added this slide after. Far right-wing governments, both in the Netherlands, but also in Hungary, Poland, we've seen it, the US, we're seeing it, Spain, Italy is nowadays is already a big problem, Argentina. These kind of governments are a threat through religious minorities, the LGBT plus community, to any other minority, basically. People that care about the environment and human rights, because they kind of are leftist leaning, and the right wing doesn't like usually those things, not too much, or don't care about the environment. But hey, we get vanity plates. So now we have the second persona, Officer Krupka, the civil servant. Officer Krupka can work for a whole number of government institutions, because they all think they are a little intelligence agency, from the UWV to the police to the Belastingdienst. Well, we've all heard about the Belastingdienst. Everybody is on the hook here. They want to assert control. That is their motivation. Why do they want to do that? Because they have to, from the minister, from the prime minister, from upstairs in political. What is their objective? To find offenders, to make into suspects. Not to find suspects, because if you're already a suspect, then you're a different level. But to find people who are offender that might be an interesting suspect. People who have been near an abortion clinic. People who have been near an Extinction Rebellion protest. How can they do this? Well, they have access to algorithms. They have access to automatic tooling and AI. We have seen proof of that in, for example, the Extinction Rebellion case at Schiphol. And there are also indications that governments are buying commercial tracking data. Commercial tracking, there is an Israeli company that promises to be able to track people within 1 meter real time based on their marketing trackers on their phone. This is hard to mitigate. Nearly impossible. So what are we going to do about this? Well, if you go to a protest or near protest, you want to obscure your face. But if you get apprehended, they will just pull down the scarf and take a picture of you and start comparing it with photos they find online. Already hard. If you go to sensitive locations, either an Extinction Rebellion protest or something like a human rights protest or Amnesty convention, the abortion clinic, a gender-affirming care provider, if that becomes illegal, like in the US, or if you live in the US, leave your devices at home. Turn off your Bluetooth to your Wi-Fi, but leave your devices at home might be even better. Take a different device, because every Bluetooth device is a smart tag. It's an eye tracker, because they're blaring out, "Hey, I'm here," all the time. Wi-Fi the same. Apple said, "Yeah, no, we change our MAC address every time we talk to another access point." Yeah, unless you the access point asks you, "What is your MAC address? What is your MAC address at this port?" And it will tell you, "This is my real MAC address." That has been broken for a couple of years. They fixed it last year. So. But the main one is also this one, if you have a period tracker that might reveal a terminated pregnancy or just a spontaneous abortion, a miscarriage, that might look like something that is an abortion that is illegal. People have been on the hook for these kind of things as well, from just having a miscarriage that people would think they might have an abortion, and this is illegal, so now you're apprehended. Usenet that does not sell data. I've been reading some of the privacy files, but those are long documents. Track your cycle in an offline planner, or use one that doesn't sell the data to law enforcement. Mainly is function creep of legitimate observation techniques against politics. Vote. Support the EFF, support reporters sans frontières, privacy advocates, none of your business, because this is a political problem. We cannot solve this with technology. We can only solve this with politics, and maybe a protest or two. So, all said and done, it's really nice to do all these cool things, but that Strava running thing is kind of handy. It's kind of fun, you know? I like sharing my workouts. Look, Dad, that's also a runner. Look, Dad, I ran this much. Is it the bug or is it the feature? How much risk do you feel is worth it? Because sharing your account for Netflix is nice that you can sit together with your partner, like, "Oh, what you want to watch now? I will turn it on so you can make some popcorn." It is nice. Your precaution level is a little dial, and it feels insufficient or it feels excessive. It will never feel right, and you will need to find the sweet spot for you. And keep in mind, if you're in quality assurance or in debugging, risk is chance times impact. These are things that you want to start thinking about, like, how much do I think is worth it to give up of this functionality? Because most of it is legitimate functionality that is nice to have, but also dangerous. So, did we do a good enough job? Well, we made some diagrammings, tried to understand the tech stack and how it interconnects to each other. We went through it systematically to thinking up some threats, thinking up some mitigations. Yeah? We have things to mitigate those threats, we all have to do some things, or we have done those things already. Yeah, we did a good job. Also, we're not done yet. Basically, there is a little bit more to do, because also, if you read the Threat Modeling Manifesto again, because it has four questions, it has some more nice tips, short tips and pointers. We're not really done. Threat modeling is not a one-time exercise. It's not like, "I've done it once, I'm done forever. I wish it were true." You have to come back to it, read it over. It's a journey of understanding. It's also continuous refinement, because you get new devices, you get new accounts, you get a new boyfriend or girlfriend or a partner. you can you get new techniques, new attack techniques, because a couple of years smart attacks were not a thing. So you will need to keep up thinking these kind of things about that in advance, and you need to keep doing that. But for real, time is about up. I've got 4 minutes left. Am I done talking? Yeah. Any questions? No? No questions? Then we have the big reveal. There were 3 musical references. Did you get them all? Yeah. Well, we started with the other one, because the cat was the easiest one. No. Yeah, it's okay, but it's not this one. What's this one? Wicked. It's Galinda, baby. With a ga. Yeah. Dated Mr. Mistoffelees colleague, of course. That is Cats. And Officer Krupke is indeed a side story. So, yeah. Before we leave, if you say, hey, I have a question for you. How can we help? I'm thinking about making this available because I have run you through this in 40 minutes. This is hard. It's not easy, especially the diagramming part. So if you say, hey, I want to help. How can I help? I'm thinking about like getting a little bit of a GitHub with some more examples. And you think, I want to help with that. Please talk to me somewhere around this. Or contact me on LinkedIn, Mastodon, or find me. And with that, thank you.